Let's just start off in prayer. How about that? Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time it's sanctified and set apart. And we lift up the mighty name of the Lord Jesus right here in this place. Father, I just thank you. As we prepared to share what you've got on your heart, Lord, Father, I thank you that you've already started preparing hearts to custom fit what is said to each individual life, Father, so we can all walk as those ambassadors, as we can walk as mighty men and women of God, Father, that we'll represent you well. And I thank you for what you're going to do from this time forward. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen? Amen. Well, I'm a little bit excited and ready to go. So I kind of start that way. So the title of the sermon is Staying Ready. And so I want to talk about that just a little bit. And from the context of staying ready to be an ambassador for Christ. In 2 Corinthians, we're called an ambassador for Christ. And we're to go share this good news about that. We're to share that with everything about our life. You know, when you're at the gas station, you're an ambassador. When you're sitting at home on the couch, you're an ambassador. When you're standing on a stage preaching, you're an ambassador. Everywhere you go, when you're just on a Monday at work, you are an ambassador. Actually, the Monday at work is probably one of the most important things, actually. And so we want to look at living a life of where we stay ready to present the gospel, to live the gospel, and not from, where I got to go out there in my driveway before I get in my car and pray in the spirit real loud and, you know, and get all ready. It's like, okay, Lord, now I'm going to work. No, where we wake up, Father, thank you for another day. Thank you for the opportunity today. Thank you for I get to live another day. And so if we're going to look at staying ready as in living for God, we got to look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it talks about that you will sanctify your whole spirit, soul, and body until the coming of the Lord. We're a three-part being. Each and every one of us. You have a spirit, you have a soul, and you live inside of a body. And so we want to look at all three of those parts. Because if we leave one of those out, we've left something out from Scripture of being the whole ambassador, the whole person. And 1 Thessalonians talks about spirit, soul, and body, but I'm going to work that backwards. We're going to start with the body and work towards the spirit today. So that's the direction we're headed. I hope you hope you're ready for it. Amen. All right. In talking about our body, in 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, "Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness profits in all things." And so there's a little element of that. And some people, their whole life is about exercising. And sometimes, you know, when I'm seeing people jogging down the road, I'd always laugh because in Proverbs, there's a scripture that says, the wicked flee when no man's chasing them, you know. And so that's not true. And so if you're a jogger, please forgive me. It's your opportunity to walk in forgiveness right now. And so, but it's a part of us because this body is a temple. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when I start looking at being ready and staying ready and how do I get ready, how do I stay ready, and how do I increase being more ready to live this life, to finish my course and run my race, to where I lay that crown down at the feet of Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, each and every one of us, one day we're going to stand before him. And I'm telling you, it's just, when you just picture that, when you put that inside of your heart and you're like, man, there's coming a day I'm going to stand before Jesus, it changes some things I'm going to do today and tomorrow. And so whenever we want to talk about getting ready, we want to take care of this body, we want to take care of this temple. And a lot of people have great passion about that, but we also don't want to leave out the other. In 1 Peter 3:15, first scripture please, 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we don't want to take it lightly, but at the same time, we want to be ready. So, yeah, we should look at some apologetics. We should study the word. We should be ready to give an answer. But basically, what's God done in your life? And so we want to think about that. But when I was studying and preparing and looking into that, that word ready inside of 1 Peter, I was looking at that because the staying ready. It's like, you know, maybe I ought to look up that word. And so I look it up. And when you look it up in a Strong's Concordance, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek of that stuff, but that word ready is prepared, and it also is fitness. And I'm like, oh, wait, because I was going to talk about the whole spirit, soul, and body, all three parts of us getting ready to live this life. And it's like, so there's a fitness to presenting the gospel. And so when I was considering this, because, you know, Paul told Timothy, he said, hey, bodily exercise profits a little bit, but godliness profits for all. And I was, and it hit me. You know, in their day, they didn't have central heat and air. They didn't have cushy couches. They didn't have a pickup with climate control and cruise control. And so he's talking about exercise. And these people, if you wanted to warm up the house, you went and cut some firewood. You went and built a fire. When you needed water, you went out and pulled it up out of a well. These people are physically active. You know, the thought of going to town or whenever they would trek up to Jerusalem and all of it, I mean, it was an undertaking to go do. And we, in this era that we're in our lives, and especially inside of this country, we're pretty cushy. We're pretty soft in general. And it's like, man, we can just flip the TV to another channel. Oh, man, I'm a little bit clammy. I'll just adjust that air a little bit. No. So when he's talking about bodily exercise, he also used a lot of references to athletes and competition and all of these things and laying aside sins that so easily set you, like this runner that's running a race, so you can run your race. So he has another take on a little bit of bodily exercise will profit you a little bit. And so I personally, what I do, this is what it looks like in my life. I wake up in the morning, and I've purposed a long time ago, as soon as I wake up, first thing, Father, thank you for another day. I start off my day with some thanksgiving, thankfulness, because I have another day, another chance, another opportunity to represent him, to live this thing out. Regardless of what's going to go on that day or what the obstacles of the day before is, thank you, Lord, because he's there with me. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. So his spirit's right here on the inside of you. And so when I wake up, that's how I start my day. And usually, I'm up at 4:30. I was up at 4:30 this morning. And so for work, I get up by 4:30. And I go in there, and I start my day just like everybody else. You start getting things ready, packing my lunch for work, all this kind of stuff. And I do a little bit of exercise. Not a lot, but I do a little bit of exercise. And I get in there and I exercise a little bit, fix a little breakfast, pack my lunch, and then I get in the Word. And I spend a little bit of time inside the Word. And I spend some time praying. And then that day while I'm at work, as I'm going along, I'm listening to sermons. I'm not much of a music guy, really. And so I might listen to 2 or 3 hours of sermons during the day. And in a month's time, listen to 10 minutes of music. And so I'm listening to that. I'm hungry for the Word. I'm listening to that Word, wanting to learn new things, wanting to grow in this stuff. And so that's kind of what it looks like for me. And I get that started, and that positions my mind and my body and everything. And I've noticed this in preparing my body, just exercising just a little bit. You know, I'm a lot stronger. I've lost a little bit of weight. I didn't necessarily have some kind of, I lost like 20 to 25 pounds in the last year and a half. And so I didn't necessarily have a goal. I want to lose this weight. This is the weight I want to get. No, I wanted to be more fit. I wanted to be more strong. And I wanted to be less susceptible to injury by being so. Because about 3 years ago, on a Sunday morning when we was coming to church here, very first started coming here, that morning, I went outside, and I was about 25 pounds heavier, not in as good a shape, not doing what I'm doing while I'm talking to you about today. And I was like, ooh, looks like it's going to rain after a while. Well, we'd been cutting limbs on pecan trees. I had a pole saw and a chainsaw in the back of the pickup. I thought, man, I better go put those back up in the shed. It might start raining while we're going to church. So I got this big pole saw and a chainsaw, and I'm walking to the lawnmower shed. And I had left the door open in the lawnmower shed, and there had been skunks running around the house and stuff where we live. And when I was walking up toward the lawnmower shed, I see this little black tail right underneath the edge of the lawnmower. And so I hop back like this to the edge of the door because I wasn't sure if it was a skunk that was going to start spraying. It was a cat. And so, but I got this weight in my hands, and I stepped back in the little cement pad in front of my lawnmower shed. The ball of my foot was right on the edge, and my heel went down. And when it did, something happened in my calf muscle. It felt like somebody just stabbed something in my calf muscle. Well, I ruptured one tendon and tore another one in my calf muscle. And so we come to church, and I'm thinking, well, I just pulled it a little bit. By the time church was over, my calf muscle swelled up real big. It's like, okay, I think I got a problem here. And so it took a process to overcome that with a little bit of physical therapy, spending time in prayer, and they're like, oh, it'll be this long before you're going good. And I was going good, I don't know, 60% of the time that they said it, you know, it would take. So God's grace was on that. He was helping me. But I learned something. Calvin, if you would have been in shape a little bit better, when I hopped back, I might have pulled something a little bit. I don't think I would have ruptured a tendon and tore one. So I do a little bit of stretching in the morning, do just a little bit of exercise. And then when I was thinking about that, the Lord put something in my heart. Before last year, last May, we went to Honduras with Mike and Carrie. Awesome time. You know, we're walking up some hills. It's hot, it's dusty, all of these types of things. And in thinking about staying fit, staying ready, the Lord was showing something to me. He said, you know, if you wouldn't have got in better shape, I wouldn't have been able to ask you to go. He would have had to pass me over. I'm telling you, I don't want to get passed over for something God had preordained, Ephesians 2:10, for me to walk in. For me to talk to somebody, for me to go there and get the privilege to lead somebody to Jesus. I want to be able to go. And so I don't have a goal of a weight or a goal set. I have a goal of being more fit. And so a little bit of bodily exercise, it profits a little bit. You can climb a mountain in Honduras and talk to three guys about Jesus. You can stand in the back of a truck. You can be ready to go whenever he says to go. And you're not going to be worried about, and I don't want to get passed over. So here's the thing about that. Because people can get into self-condemnation over that. I did for a little while myself. So here's the thing. What's your goals? Looking way down the road, you know, my wife and I here a few weeks back, we went on a little, a few day trip, and we went and hiked in a park, and we walked, I don't know, it's like a mile and a half back in there to this one scenery, and we walked off over here to another, that if I wouldn't have been in better shape, we wouldn't have made that. I would have had to look at pictures online or have somebody else show me a picture on their phone that did walk back there. But we got to go experience that. So as I'm getting older, last month I turned 53, I want to be able to run and play. You know, we had a foot race out there with the grandkids and my wife and everything, and I barely won, but I won. And I'm telling you, and they're fast. And so I want to be able to do those things as I get older and older. This week, I got the privilege. I was working. I work for the county, run a road grader. I'm going down the road, and this guy, he was on there. He's waving at me, so I stopped. He had some stuff for sale out there. I thought, oh, I'm going to ask him. He's waving around. I get out and talk to him. He's 93. Just, man, just a go-getter. And so I'm talking to him, start talking to him about the Lord. He's born again. He's got a ministry, an evangelist, and he had problems with his back. And so I got the privilege to pray with him. You know, and it was just, it was just, It was just a great time. And my wife had gotten off early, and she was like, hey, do you want me to bring you anything or something? I'm like, yeah, won't you come out here and eat lunch with me? There's a place right down there in that little community where you can park. And I was like, yeah, we'll just sit there and eat lunch together. That would be great. And so she pulls up, and she comes over there, and he's like, man, we're just having a hallelujah session over here, you know. So we're just praying, giving God glory. It was awesome. And I'm looking at him, and I was like, man, this man is 93 years old. He's up every day. He had had fractures, spine, and he'd go out and do stuff. He's like, man, I can only go out for about 15, 20 minutes at a time. Then I got to go back in there and lay down for just a little bit. He was cutting limbs on a tree and took a bad fall with one of those a few years back. He's 93. And I'm like, you're my hero, buddy. You're my hero. And I'm like, I want some of that. And so we're praying about that, praying about his back. It was an awesome time. And so we go on down there to eat lunch. And so that's the thing. As we get older, I want to be ready. I want to be ready to go. And so what's your goals? Just think about them. Start wherever you're at. God, you'll notice through the scriptures, Jesus started with people wherever they were at. And then he come up. And so I just started where I was at, doing just a little bit of exercise, and then I've increased that. Start with 5 minutes. Get a little rubber band. Do whatever. There's all kinds of information out there to get you a plan or something like that. I'm not that guy for that. Do some jumping jacks and push-ups and stretches. I don't know. But do your thing. Don't injure yourself, and don't set this goal way up here that you're going to get self-condemned because you're not advancing fast enough or you're not this, that, whatever. The goal is to be fit. Your fitness. So you can accomplish the goals that God has for you and inside of your life. I'm a very practical kind of guy. This today is going to be so practical, but it's applicable. And I'm telling you, it's just, you can use it tomorrow. You can put it into practice. And so we want to set our goals, and we want to start. You just got to start where you're at. So now, that's enough about the body, because there's way plenty of stuff out there, and they avoid these other two areas, our soul and spirit. They don't talk to me about that. They want to avoid that and only focus on the natural man. So in our soul, 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, and he said, not been given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Here's where the battlefield hits all of us. Me, everybody, the battlefield is in your mind. It can stem off if you're looking at your body. You can get down and start focusing on things, but the battlefield is in our mind. I have a couple of really dear friends, and we have a covenant together. We could call each other and ask for help about no matter what. And we're there to help one another, to start praying for somebody, to lift them up. You know, one of these dear friends, amazing guy, follows God, just his life is just a one. I mean, it's completely, when it says we become a new creature, it's him. From where he used to be before Christ. Because I used to work with him. I know him. And he's an amazing man. He called me one day. And he said, man, I'm having a real problem, Cal. I need some prayer. So what's up, buddy? And he said, man, I'm being bombarded with thoughts. And because there's kids in the room, he used to watch stuff, adult stuff. And he said, these thoughts are hitting me. I'm not looking at anything. I'm not. He said, man, I'm spending time praying. I'm reading the Word. I mean, he gets up every morning and he's in the Word. He goes to bed reading the Word. He is not slack in any ways following after God. And he said, man, it's like I can't get away from these thoughts. They're just bombarding me. I said, well, let's pray. And we prayed. I was caring about it, and I prayed for him, and I kept continuing to pray for him. And it was the next day I was talking to him, how's it going? He's like, man, it's gone. It's gone. You need somebody in your life to help you with our soul, with our mind, will, and emotions, when your mind gets attacked. I've had to call this same very friend and say, man, I'm having depressive thoughts. I'm feeling overwhelmed with this. I'm feeling overwhelmed about that. These circumstances inside of our life right now, I'm under a little bit of pressure. And he'd be like, let's pray. And he's that guy. You need one or two people like that, that they're a true friend. You know, a few weeks ago, I did the transition. And when I was up here on the stage, it was during the kind of mic check time. And Jason came walking up. And when he started walking up on the stage, inside of my heart, the Lord said, he's a true friend. So I don't know if he's your friend, but he's a true friend. Because the Lord said so. And I was like, I got to get to know him better. You always need an extra friend. So in your soul, we've not been given a spirit of fear. Fear always tries to come against us. Thoughts, imagination, vain things, they try to come against us. And we have power, love, and of a sound mind. That sound mind means if you know how to get yourself back home, you can direct and control your thoughts. Maybe you need a little help, but you can do that. And God's put it inside of us. In Hebrews 12:3, he said, don't be worried and faint in your mind. Now, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is a very, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. You need to spend a little bit of time in this, in your word, and look at this, dealing with our solar realm. 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to start in verse 3, go through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That doesn't mean bringing every thought into obedience of my present situation and pressure and feelings and emotions. No, bringing it into line with the scriptures, because the word is the truth. The word is going to be the answer. In John 8:32, it says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. What does truth set you free from? It sets you free from a lie. That lying emotion, that lying feeling, that lying imagination. Because see, when a thought comes, and then when you start entertaining that thought, it's like a train starts slowly rolling up and you step on, and man, that thing has got some cars on it. I don't know if you guys have ever been on that train before, but I have, and that dude's a mile long, and they're bringing more cars to tack on, if I won't say enough. And I'm telling you, I've had trouble like that in my mind before, and I've been under pressure before, and I've had depressive thoughts coming. And so here's what I do with that, because John 8:32, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So whenever these thoughts start rising up of failure, of whatever, of insecurity, of anything that's going on, depressive thoughts, I turn my back to it. You know, turning your back to somebody is a sign of disrespect. You know, if they walk up and they say, hey, man, how you doing? And you just turn your back to them. In certain situations, I get you punched in the back of the head. And so, you know, not here, but in certain situations. And it'll get you popped in the back of the head. You know, what are you doing? You know, and so anyways, I turn my back to that thought. I'll actually make a physical turn if I can. I mean, you know, if I'm driving or something, I don't. But I mean, these thoughts hit my mind. And I will physically turn and I start exalting truth, because the truth is the answer. The truth is the gateway away. The truth is going to bring that thing and captain's fall out his thank you. That thought right there, that thought's on depression. You said, Father, that if I keep my mind stayed on you, you will keep me in perfect peace. Father, I thank you that I have your perfect peace on the inside of me. Father, I just thank you right now for all the good things you have. I thank you for breath on the inside of my lungs, and I lift up the name of Jesus. And you start doing that. Whatever scripture you know, exalt that scripture. Start listening. Start proclaiming that scripture and watch what will happen, because you're taking captive and you're bringing that. No, That's a lie. Now I'm capturing you and I'm bringing you into the obedience of Christ. And he said, I'm an overcomer. He said, I'm a son. He said, I have the gift of righteousness. He said, he has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for me. He said, he knew me before the foundation of the world. And he knows you, Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world, he knew you and he called you and predestined you to be adopted into this family. Because I don't know about you, I was just going along on that path headed for hell, and I was skipping along and whistling. And then I heard about Jesus, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. And he came and he snatched me off of that path, translated me into the kingdom of his dear son, and gave me a destiny and purpose. This is what you was made for, son. This is what you are. And he calls me son, and he calls you son, and he calls you daughter. You're not a second rate. You're not that. You are chosen. Your parents picked the time, but God picked you. And I'm telling you, your life is meant for a purpose. And the enemy wants us to draw back, become slack, become whatever, to start introspect and self-respect, and start drawing back and beating ourselves up, and he starts right through the mind. And so God gave us an answer for that. Let's go here to Philippians chapter 4. I got a lot of scriptures, but I'm going to skip a few. Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Listen to what God says. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's that truth defending you. But we got to put him into, we got to call on the guard. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. That's the key. There's been my escape every time because, I mean, I've had depression just, it's almost like somebody put a coat over me. And I can recognize this a little bit inside of my family. And I was praying and I was doing, and just, it's like, man, Lord, I need help. I'm just feeling beat down. And I'd went up and preached two services at a healing conference one time in Ohio at a buddy of mine, his home church. And I met the praise and worship leader. And we just met. That was it, you know, just met him, awesome guy. And didn't think much about it. And so this is going on and I'm just really struggling. My mind is just being attacked. And my buddy calls me that morning and he said, hey, Dennis called me this morning. He didn't have your phone number. But the Lord woke him up at 2 o'clock this morning to pray for you. And he couldn't stop praying for you. And he said, whatever it is, he's praying for you. And it broke that day. So when you feel like you're alone, God may have somebody 3 states away praying for you, waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, but we got to be faithful to pray when he prompts our heart to start praying. And so sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and that's what the Bible says, pray in the Spirit. Pray mysteries out. Pray for things. So when I'm going down the road in a road grader, a lot of times, some days I just forget about it, but most days I pray for all those people that live on that road. What do I pray? I pray the things I want to see in my family. Father, I pray for these people. I pray for them to walk in health. I pray Psalms 91:10 that no evil will befall them. No plague will come nigh their dwelling. Father, I pray that if they don't know you, they'll get to know you. I pray that your Spirit will invade their house and their family, turn their legacy toward God, that this road will be the road of safety, that their families will just be covered, protected, and hidden from the evil one. Father, that their kids will rise up and be the men and women of God that you called and created them to be. That's what I pray when I'm going down the road. That's what I want for my family. That's what you want for yours. So when you're going down your city street, you're turning, you go down that street. Oh, just start praying for those families on there. And we're sowing. And if you sow, you shall reap. And I'm telling you, just keep sending that word. In Proverbs 4:23, God has used that scripture to just mark my heart. And actually, that's what's on this little wristband right here is Proverbs 4:23. It says to guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And I'm telling you, the Lord used that, and he was like, Calvin, you got to get a hold of your heart. You got to be very conscious of your mind and your spirit. You got to be very diligent about this. See, I know me, and you know you. You only know me from church. I mean, I've been married 34 years. My wife knows about me. And she says I'm an awesome husband too, by the way. And so, and I am. I'm a good husband. And so, and it didn't come by accident. It came by purpose. It came by diligence. And so, we're going to be I'm going to be preaching on marriage here soon. And so, it's going to be good. You don't want to miss that. But, well, that verse, he marked my heart. And it's like, I got to keep control of this. I got to keep control of my thought life. I got to keep control of my mind. And so, me knowing me, I know areas that I'm prone to weakness. I know areas where I'm prone to maybe get a little madder than I should be, to be a little more temperamental, to be a whatever. And so forethought, pre-planning, preparation, being fit for this gospel, so when I get up, my response to my family, my response to my neighbors, my response to my coworkers, I've got to use this and start doing some thinking. I got to use this and start doing some pre-planning and go, hey, Calvin, you're a little bit sometimes edgy right there. You better think about that. And it's like, that's right. And so in this process of thought, when he just marked my heart with Proverbs 4:23, I hope God marks your heart with a few verses. It'll change your life. And so I was diligent. It's like, okay, Lord, what do I got to do? Because I can't hide nothing from you about, I can be a little bit hot-tempered right here with this certain personality type, this certain whatever, you know, I know me, you know you. And so he was like, why don't you get up a little bit earlier? I used to get up, you know, 5:15, I had to be at work at 6, to get around, hurry around and go. Well, then I was coming from behind for me. So I'm up and I usually have my feet on the floor before 4:30 because I needed to have a little bit more time in here. And then so then the Lord started dealing with me too, you know, because if you'll turn your ear and listen, he's got things to say. And so I was turning my ear and I was like, Lord, I need you to father me in this area. I need help. I need to walk as an ambassador from the moment my feet hit the floor till they lay back down on that bed. And I want to represent you well. And he was like, well, you need to deal with this, Calvin. I'm like, okay, I'm going to deal with that. You need to get up a little bit earlier. Let's spend some time together. I'm like, okay. You know, last time I preached, I talked about tailgate time with Jesus. You know, yesterday, me and my wife we were sitting on the tailgate eating some pizza. We went over and helped a couple. We were spray painted the whole inside of their house Friday and Saturday. And, that's awesome. Sit on that tailgate. And when I was like, man, this reminds me back whenever we was dating right here, sitting on that tailgate and just, oh, it's good. It's awesome. I'm telling you, it's good. Hey, the Bible says in Proverbs, you're supposed to be enraptured with her love. That word enrapture actually means intoxicated. Intoxicated means you're under the influence of something. So if you're not intoxicated, take another drink. If you're still not intoxicated, take another drink. Change your mind. Focus your thoughts. Get control of your mouth. Get control of your attitude. Get control of your actions. Pick your socks up off the floor. Anyhow, we're going to talk about a few of those things. Little rabbit trail right there. So the Lord started dealing with me about getting up a little bit earlier, going in there, spending a little extra time with him. And so I started doing it. Started making a difference in my life. Prayer. It's like, you know what? I'm just charged up. I mean, I'd go to work and I'd always be praying in the spirit, stuff like that going down the road. And so he's doing that. Well, then he started dealing with me about stuff we were seeing on TV. He said, you know that little series you're watching there? I'm like, yeah. He said, take a look at it. And I thought, huh. So I stopped and I was like, okay. Started thinking about some of the episodes we've seen. And it was like this little ticker tape just started flooding through my mind. And I was like, well, that's trash. I'm like, they're using your name as a cuss word. There's fornication going on. They're killing people. There's filth. It's filth. If you went to hell and they said, hey, theater night, Thursday. And I'm like, I'm done with that. So see, there's the deal. When the Lord reveals truth to you, you got to turn. You got to repent. And I repented and apologized to the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry for ever letting that trash enter inside through a TV into my house. Because, I mean, if any one of you come to my house, we'd welcome you, whatever. You start dropping an F-bomb, blaspheme God, I'll be like, hey, hey, hey. We don't talk like that around here. Uh-uh. We don't talk like that around here. And if you didn't stop, I'd escort you to the door. And see you on down the road. When you come to our house, we're going to glorify God in our house. If you're going to blaspheme God, you're going to drop a bunch of F-bombs, stuff like that, you're either going to get control of your tongue or I'll get control of your arm and escort you out. And so that's the code I live by. And now, what is a Christian? We're supposed to be separated and sanctified. Look in Colossians, it talks about to put off filthy language, put off anger, put off wrath, put off malice, put it off. Doesn't say put a rubber band around your wrist and pop it every time you think about it. It says to put it off. Why? Because we're a brand new creature. We're brand new creation. We didn't incorporate Jesus in to have a better life. We died to ourselves and laid it down. In Romans 6, it says a few times, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. And so I had to put it off. And so then when he confronted me about this show, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is because some of y'all probably watch it, but evaluate your own life. And so I was just like, man, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been sitting there listening. Oh, yeah, it was well written. They had good actors, but it was filth. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want that filth in. Garbage in, garbage out. This keeps my soul cleaner. This keeps my heart cleaner. This keeps my mind more prepared that I can stop and climb out of a road grader and pray for a guy on the side of the county road. That I can stop and pray for somebody at Walmart. That I can pray for him at the gas station. That I'm right there all the time. That if somebody says something, it's like, hey, I'm ready to go. And so our life we lived, they're watching. They're watching. Here just a few weeks ago, it was on my birthday actually, a coworker, I got to officiate his daughter's wedding. You know, if I was acting like a jerk, having a little temper tantrum cuss fits at work, he wouldn't have been asking me to officiate no daughter's wedding. You know what I mean? So our life and our conduct, we are, the Bible says, an ambassador. And to be a good ambassador, we got to start walking like one. We got to start living it out. And so this is tough and this is tight and it's right. But I'm telling you, if we do this, we'll start looking like him. So then whenever we do say something about Jesus, it carries weight. Whenever you do say, oh man, I'm sorry you're going through that, can I pray for you? Because I prayed for quite a few of my coworkers, and they're just like, yeah. And you pray for them, and you watch tears running down their face where the Holy Ghost touches them. And it's like, man, thank you, Lord. And you see that. So let's move on right now real quick to our spirit. I want to talk to you. So I've included some of that about it translates over about taking care of your spirit too. And let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 through 7, because there's a lot of things in the Word, and I'm going to have to skip a couple of them here. Let me read that one. 2 Timothy, there we go, thank you. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, you've been given the fifth of faith of Jesus whenever you got born again. You got it on the inside of you, which dwells first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. That thing is supposed to be transferable. Our grandkids are supposed to see Jesus on the inside of us. I purpose to do different things so they hear and see Jesus in there. My little grandson, he was watching this on YouTube, on the TV. These kids, they're doing bike tricks. And I'm like, yeah, we can watch them. I said, but if they say a bad word, you turn that off. And so, because you know, you don't really know everything about it until it starts playing sometimes. And so, man, they started going. I said, hey, turn that off. Papa don't like cussing. We don't have that around here. And so here the other day, they were inside of there, and one of those kids turned off. And my grandson, Elijah, he goes, hey, turn that off. Hey, he said a cuss word. I'm like, yes, right there. We represent Christ. We represent him to our kids and our grandkids. And I'm telling you, so we want to purpose that. And we want to remember the power of your memory. See, you, if you get to remembering all your failures, if you get to remembering where you didn't measure up, you thought, when you get to remembering all that, you can get on that train that I was talking about, and it's not headed a good direction. And you're just going down through there. But no, when you start remembering, oh, Father, I remember you were faithful. Father, thank you for touching that person. Thank you for coming through for that. Thank you, Lord, that we had money to pay all of our bills. Father, we just thank you for that. You start remembering and being thankful. Stir up the power of your memory. It is a gift. Proverbs 10:7 says, the memory of the righteous is blessed. And I'm telling you, when you start stirring that up, the enemy and everything else, they want to say, hey, as you age, your memory's going to do this. No. The Word of God says the memory of the righteous is blessed. Well, you're going to have to direct it. You're going to have to, that power of a sound mind, you're going to have to pull that thing around, take thoughts captive and go, no, I'm going to focus on what God's done for me. For years, it finally got to where you couldn't really read it, and I threw it away, and I don't really need it now. But for years, I had a piece of paper, and when I would have a God victory, where I'd prayed for somebody, and I seen God heal them, I had prayed for somebody, and I prayed with somebody, and they got born again. Different victories that I had it. It was a thankfulness list. It was a victory list. And I had that thing in my wallet, and I would carry it in there, and I carried it so long, and I added things to it, and there's a whole bunch of things on there. And I'm telling you, put one of those somewhere where you can get it. And whenever you feel like your mind, feel like your spirit, feel like something is working against you, and it's like, you know what? I got to get control of my thoughts here. I got to rein those things in. I got to direct my, I got to grab the steering wheel of my mind and my life, and I got to speak truth. Pull that thing out. Say, oh man, God, I remember that. And then it's like, I remember praying for somebody and watching God grow their leg out. That's cool. And I mean, that is so cool. And I just took myself back to that moment to where it's like I could feel the room. And it's like, man, I remember. And I remember feeling his leg go, whoop. Oh, nothing feels like that. And I'm telling you, God did that. Nobody can do that. God did it. And I got that on my little list. And I can remember praying for somebody. I remember praying. Oh, one time I remember praying in church. The Lord gave me this little thought about eyes. And so I went up to the pastor. I went over to the side of the pastor. I said, man, I feel like I got a word. God wants to pray for people about their eyes. And he said, sit down right there. And they were doing during the music. I said, okay. And so then at the end of that, he gets up and he said, Calvin has a word. And he hands me the microphone. I'd proven trustworthy to him. And so I announced that. And when I did, I could see the main elder guy. I seen a little flash of a picture in my mind. Me and him was standing there praying for people. And so anyways, we gave a call. If you got a major problem with your eyes, whatever, come up. We want to pray for you. There was just an anointing there that was amazing. And so these two twin kids and this girl and another guy, they couldn't read large words, the screen, front row to the screen right there without their glasses. And we prayed for them, and they're reading words. And it's like, God, you're so amazing. And so this one girl, we prayed for her. She wasn't no better. We prayed for her again, wasn't no better. And then we prayed for her again, she wasn't no better. And so, you know what? Let's just pray in the Spirit for a minute. And so me, him, and one of the other elders that come over there, we just started praying in the Spirit, and then we spoke to it. And I'm telling you, and she could see. And she could see that. And the pastor's wife had to wear a contact in one eye because her eyes would work against one another. She couldn't wear them in both. She'd wear a contact in one eye. And we prayed for her, and there wasn't no difference right then. But it was like 3 weeks later, she was like, I'm not seeing right and everything. She took the contact out, and she was seeing. And I'm like, God, you're good. So whenever you pray and you don't see something, that doesn't change it. It's in there. Like you put a seed in there. You look at that package that has seed. It's a promise. This is what it is. Water that thing. Care for that thing. Tend and guard over that thing. So do the same thing inside of your mind, inside of your life. And so I want to take you to a verse of Scripture. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm going to roll through these pretty quick. But this is a major thing Well, it's major for me. Verse 8, but you shall receive power. He had told them, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with this promise. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's for us. And so, you know, I went to church for a long time, and they made derogatory comments about the Holy Spirit, about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. They made derogatory comments about that. And then, so the Lord directed me in the Word. What did I say about it? It's like, oh, well, this is an endowment of power from on high to be a witness. Well, I want to be a witness. It didn't say to be a church spectacle. It said to be a witness. It says to be endued and with power. And I'm telling you, it was a life-changing thing. So I was listening to that. Yes, thank you. And on my way to work, because I'm seeking after this. I want everything. I wasn't raised in church, but then when we was going to a certain denominational church, they shied away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They belittled it, derated it. And so my question was, what did you replace it with? What have you got that is equal to what Jesus said we need? What have you got to replace it with? Another Bible study? That's wonderful. But what have you got? He said, be endued with power from on high. And so then it's like you hear things and they're like, oh, well, that's not for everybody. And so listen to this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 39, well, let me back up to verse 38. Peter, he stood up with the 11 on this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he said, and Peter said to them, repent, because he had been telling them about this Jesus. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's not only just salvation, Holy Spirit, but here's this. And he says, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He's called us all. And so this endowment of power is for us. And it goes on down to verse 41. It said, and then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And so then if you go on through there, he starts talking to them people and he's explaining this. And he said, hey, you know what you see and hear, this is a gift. And then all through Acts, just start looking up the scriptures onto it. They were magnifying God. They were glorifying God. Well, I've been in a bar and I've been drunk. And I was talking stupid, but I wasn't glorifying God. I wasn't magnifying the name of Jesus. I wasn't lifting his name up, and I sure wasn't praying in the Spirit. And so I've been on the other side of that. So I'm seeking after this. I found out about it, heard about it. And I'm headed to work one day. I'm in my truck. I'm going to work, and I'm listening to this audio teaching. And I'm like, man, God, I have to have this. You said it's power to be a witness. I need this power. Because I know me and I know my weaknesses. I need the power of your Holy Spirit on the inside of me to walk this thing out, to live, to be the man you called and created me to be. Because I'm seeing glimpses of stuff. And it's like, oh man, I need this. So I'm listening to this audio teaching and he's walking through that. And I'd been seeking after it. And when I would start praying, I would feel it to start rising up. But see, what I was doing is I was expecting him to just grab hold of my tongue and start speaking in tongues. Well, in Acts chapter 2, it says, they began to speak as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Ah, so then there's that step of faith to step out there, yield your tongue. And I didn't have all my ducks in a row. They're still not in a row. Some are missing. I can't find them. And so this is about being, when you're born again, you qualify. When you've given your life to Jesus, and then he says, you know what? To walk this thing out, you need to be endued with power from on high. When you go over there where Philip went down to Samaria, it was like 20 years after Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit fell on them. And he said, hey, what you see and you hear? This is from God right here. And so I'm in my pickup, and I'm going down the road. Nobody's there. And I was praying, and it started, I could just sense it rising up. And it's a little different for everybody. Some you just hear words, some they feel words, some they see words, some they just start speaking. It's you. That's what it is. Yielded to God. And so I'm just like, it starts rising up and I'm saying, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you. And I start stuttering. And I start stuttering. And I remember I was doing this again. I hit my steering wheel and I'm like, why am I stuttering? Because I was expecting him to just take off. speaking in tongues through my tongue, you know? And on the inside, it was let go. And it was like, oh, I see it. And I took off praying in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, it was like it just flooded my entire being. And I'm praying in the Spirit on the way to work. And I get to work, and I call my wife. And I'm like, hey, guess what happened? And she's like, what? And I said, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she was like, what did it feel like? It was like, I love everybody. I love everybody. The Holy Ghost will just fill you with the love for people. I'm like, I don't know why. I want to go to another country and tell somebody about Jesus. I didn't give a rip about some other country before then. But it's an endowment of power to be a witness. And if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a lot in there about that. You're praying mysteries. It also says pray with your understanding and pray with the Spirit. That's not just a fervent prayer. In 1 Corinthians, it says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. And so it's an endowment of power. If we leave this out, you're leaving out a power source that God wanted to equip you with to walk out. Like I say, not to be a church spectacle, not to be a weirdo at work, not to be none of that garbage, to be a personal where you can fellowship with Him. You can be going down the road and you're fellowshipping. You know, whenever I was asked about preaching today, I'm like, okay, absolutely. It's the Lord. What would you have me to say? What direction you want me to go? These are your people. What would you like? And I wasn't really getting anything right at first. So you know what I did? I thought about a couple of different things. Just didn't seem right. So it's okay. I'm just going to trust you and your Holy Spirit. I just begin to pray in the tongues, pray in the Spirit. And I'm just praying in the Spirit. And on the inside of me rose up about staying ready, being a witness, being an ambassador, living a life for Christ, stepping out, doing these things. And it's like, okay. So I started getting direction. And as I prayed, you know, it says you pray mysteries. So whenever you don't know what to do, when you're at wit's end, get control of your thought and your mind and get alone in there. You can pray quietly. You can pray to yourself in an office, quietly, to yourself. The only thing you can't do is hum in tongues. I don't know why, but you can't do that. But you can pray in tongues. I was just praying in tongues right there inside of my heart. That's different than giving a message in tongues in church where it needs to have an interpretation. That's a different gift. But as a personal thing, you can flow with Him. You can pray that. And I've had Him give me answers. I've had Him give me specific things. Emeril and I was at the county jail. Last month, Emeril and I went. There was two guys got born again. Glory to God. And it was awesome. And we were in there in the jail one night. Emeril was teaching. And there was these guys that come in there. And when they first come in, we asked them if they knew the Lord or anything. It was trustees. And they were like, no, not really. And so we're there while Emeril's while he was teaching, I was just quietly to myself praying in the Spirit, pulling. Just, Lord, you know, let it connect with those guys. Because that one guy's like, I don't really know anything about that. I just thought we'd listen. And then on the inside, this name rises up to my mind. It comes from here, and it came up to my mind. And I can't think of what that name was. It was a girl's name, like, I don't know, Emily. I think it was Emily. Thank you, Lord. And so when Emeril gets done talking, because this name just rose up to my mind, Emily. So I give my attention to it, and it got stronger. And so then I gave a little more attention to it, and it got stronger. Ah, this is God. Prove this thing out. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Renew your mind, and you can prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You can prove the things of God out. And so when Emeril got done, I said, hey, I keep hearing this name in my mind. Does the name Emily mean anything to you guys? And at first they're like, no. And then this one guy, he goes, hey, that's my daughter's name. How did you know that? I was like, I can amaze you what I don't know. I don't know nothing about you. And I said, this name just come out. And he was like, that's my daughter's name. And that was the first time that ever happened to me. And so, man, he threw open the doors. And I mean, I just started sharing with him. Those guys got saved. Glory to God. be endued with power to be a witness. So let me end this up. One, about your body, everything like that. Make a plan and start. Two, daily is the key. Daily doing a little something. Daily getting into the Word. Daily looking for that. Romans 12, 1 and 2, renew our mind and start looking for opportunities to prove it out. And then three, something the Lord told me to do was like in a seasonal thing. Take a little evaluation of where you're at. Sit down, pop the tailgate down with Jesus and hop up there with him and say, Lord, where am I at? Do I need to make a little bit of adjustment? That's whenever, when I was doing that, that's when he was like, yeah, take a look at that show you're watching. Ooh, that's trash. It's gone. Why don't you get up a little earlier and spend some time with me? I'm up earlier. Why don't you do this? I'm doing that. Why don't you go here? I'm doing there. Why don't you go to the county jail and preach? I'm going there. Why don't you start going to the prison at Cushing? I was supposed to go a few weeks ago, and they had a prison lockdown, so I didn't go. Pastor Scholl, the chaplain, he comes here. That week, he led 20 guys to the Lord at the prison. That's awesome. And so take evaluation. Look at these areas. Get wisdom. Get help where you need it. And so today, if the prayer ministers will come down, I want to open things up and I want to share. They have a copy of one of these, but you can buy these at Mardell's. They're really cheap. And it's about why tongues and a Bible way to receive the Holy Spirit by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's a terrific little booklet that, to help you. It helped me tremendously. And you can utilize that. And they're going to have it. And so I want to ask this major question. We're all gathered together, and I don't know everybody here. I want to ask this first. Is there anybody here, you have never given your life to the Lord Jesus? You know you're not ready to stand before Him. You know inside of your heart that I'm not born again. I am truly not born again, and I need to be. Today's your day. If you just slip up a hand, we're going to pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Is there anybody? Okay. Another question. If you're in a backslidden state, and you know you are, you can come back to the Lord. Is there anybody here like that today? We want to pray for you. Yes, sir. Is there anybody else? Oh, I can feel somebody else. Man, I'm telling you, if God's moving on your heart, you got to yield. That is the secret to walking this thing out. Yield. And so we want to pray for you. So we want to pray with him. And if everybody, I'm going to lead him in a prayer. And if you guys will just pray along with me, this will help you in case you get to lead somebody else in a prayer. How about that? So just pray it out loud with me and with him. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I repent and turn from sin. I renounce that sin. I renounce the devil and his works in my life. I turn to you, the living God, and I would purpose to walk after you, to follow after you. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior, and I glorify your name. Be glorified through me. Help me walk this out. Surround me with people to help me walk. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can lead somebody in that prayer right there, and you can watch an unsaved person. We've watched it in a jail. There's a light that comes in behind her eyes. It's amazing. You're standing there, you're looking at a guy, you lead him in a prayer, and it's like the light just come on there. Jesus is the light of life. So the prayer ministers are here. If you need healing in your body, you have a question about something, I'll be down here. They're over here. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we would like to pray for you. It's kind of a personal thing. We'll just pray for you. We'll lay hands on you. The Bible says if you ask, you'll receive. He'll give it. Jesus will give it to you. And so we want to make that available for you. Other than that, I am done. Amen? I'm going to step down there. Amen. Thank you.